We've all heard the phrase, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It's also a terrible thing to let fall into Satan's influence. Someone else has said, what you think, you are. It's vital to protect our minds from the devil's attacks. And the helmet of salvation is just what we need when doubts arise about our status as God's children. Today, how to use yet another piece of the armor of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. To help us fight the invisible war, Erwin Lutzer is teaching us about the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we now learn about the helmet of salvation.
Let me begin today by asking a question. What comes to mind when I say the word Satan? Well, in this series of messages, we've been learning that he was created to be an angel. And then he rebelled against God and, so far as we know, took one-third of the other angels with him. Two-thirds of the angels still give praise to God, but Satan rebelled that he might no longer be God's servant. But in a sense, he still is. He is still under God's authority and under God's reign and will always be. We've also been learning that we're caught up in the battle. Satan is allowed to have a certain amount of power, a power limited, of course, by God, and we are involved in the conflict. And what he wants to do is to discover in us something, some entry point, whereby he might gain a foothold. It could be any number of things. In fact, in this series, I perhaps should give you a list of about 10 or 12 biblical issues that connect him with entry points. But it can be something like a computer. After the last message, a mother came to me deeply heartbroken over her daughter who had been on the computer and found a website. Now, there are all kinds of good websites, but there are a lot of destructive ones. I'm not only talking about pornography. I'm talking about occultism. I'm talking about people meeting others and hooking up with others on the computer. And when that happens, there is an obsession that begins to develop, and Satan knows that he has people where he wants them. And they can get out of it if they understand the power of Christ, but oh, how he likes to deceive. Well, today we're going to be talking about the helmet of salvation. It's found, of course, in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, but I do not want you to turn there today. I have another passage that is going to help to explain what the helmet of salvation is all about. But I begin today by telling you that this will be the most important message that you have ever heard, or probably ever will hear. Now, I'm sure that you will hear many messages that are much more eloquent than this one. You may often hear messages that are much more interesting than this one, but there is none that is more important than this discussion of the helmet of salvation and what it means, who's got it, who doesn't have it, and how to pick it up if you've lost it. Today I'm speaking to two categories of people. The first category I could classify as unbelievers. Now, that's not very complimentary, but you need to understand that when I say unbelievers, that does not mean that I'm talking to the atheists. There may be some atheists listening, and so you're an unbeliever, but not necessarily. You can be an unbeliever and be a seeker and be here today at the church to check us out. And we're glad that you are here to check us out. You may be wondering about Christianity and exploring it, and at this point, you still have not made that faith commitment in the sense that you've transferred your trust to Jesus. And so you're still in that category, but you're investigating it. And I say, keep investigating the Christian faith. You may even love Jesus and still not be in the category of believers. Now, if you're an unbeliever, I'll tell you exactly what the devil wants to do with you based on 2 Corinthians. He wants you to be content, to be very content in your self-assured view of yourself and the world and your relationship with God. He wants to strengthen that sense of contentment. As a matter of fact, he would like to be able to do that and to keep you even from hearing the rest of this message. You realize that there are some people who are listening to me today who are going to find it difficult to track with me, even though I hope that I am clear. They're going to find that they wander. They're going to find this sense of indrawn contentment, and it is going to keep them from hearing what they really need to hear. So even though it's a battle, hang in with me, and we're going to make it together to the end, aren't we? I always say it's my responsibility to speak. It's your responsibility to listen, and I've been praying that we shall end at the same time. And then there's another category of people, and you are the believers. God bless you. I'll tell you what Satan wants to do with you. He wants to shatter your confidence that you have savingly believed. What he wants to do is to cast doubt on the promises of God. So on the one hand, in the lives of those who haven't believed, what he wants to do is to strengthen self-confidence. In your life, what he wants to do is to destroy the confidence that you've put in the scriptures and the promises. And by the time this message is over, I hope that I've spoken to both groups and that you've been helped in determining what side of the ledger you are on and how you should proceed from here. Imagine doing all that in the next 20 or 25 minutes with your help and with God's guidance, I trust and pray. What is the helmet of salvation? What is a helmet? Well, you know that if you play football without a helmet, you know what can happen. When you're without a helmet, a number of things can happen. You can go into confusion, and you don't know which end is up. And that's true of some minds, especially when it comes to the gospel. They find it all very confusing, and they can't fit it in. Another thing you can do is you can actually be in a coma and be unaware, basically, and build your own reality. You know, it is said that psychotics build castles in the air and neurotics live in them. You can build your own reality, and you can be very content in doing so when you lose or do not have the helmet of salvation. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, because it's important that you look at the text with me. And the text is 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but near the end of the Bible, close to the book of Revelation, you come to 1 John. Now, there are many of you who say, Pastor Lutzer, every Sunday I bring my Bible to church. But I forgot it today. And this is the first time you've forgotten it. So please take a Bible that is there in the seat ahead of you. It's there for you. And turn to page 1023. 1023. And if the person next to you doesn't still have a Bible, well, then you share yours with them, because we need to look at the text. 1 John, and we're going to begin now, chapter 5. And before I read, I need to tell you what's going on. In the early days when John was writing, there was a group of people named Gnostics. We became acquainted with them, didn't we, during the great Da Vinci Code debate, the Gnostics. The Gnostics tried to combine Christianity with Platonism, so they ended up with some very strange views about Jesus, many different views about Jesus. One of the views was that Jesus became the Christ at his baptism. The Christ Spirit came upon him at his baptism. Now, he was born just a man, Jesus, but at his baptism, the Christ Spirit came upon him, and then it left him just before he died. So he was born a mere man, and he died a mere man. They taught that of one thing they could be sure, and that is Jesus, as God, could not have come in the flesh. Now, it is to those sorts of people that John is writing. He's writing to believers, but he's helping them to sort out the doctrine of Christ. And he says in chapter 5, verse 1, and now we're talking about the assurance of salvation. putting on the helmet, if you please. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By the way, John loves to just talk in broad strokes and clear speech. If you are born of God, you will love God. Because when you are born of God, God does a miracle within you so that there's something within you that was not there before the miracle happened. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. There's a new nature created within you when you are born of God. And Jesus said that unless you are born of God, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. But whoever is born of God loves God. We don't naturally love someone we haven't seen. This love is implanted in us by God when we are born of God. Now, what John does is then he begins to color in the details of who this Christ really is. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, you are born of God. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, there are many spirits that are in the world. And you'll notice behind all the false prophets, there are spirits. Do you see it there in the text? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That was a direct attack, of course, against the Gnostics who denied that Jesus as God could come in the flesh.
Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer. Could I encourage you to be sure to listen to the next part of this message? I'll tell you why. I said to a friend that I think that this message may be the most important I've ever preached. He was surprised, remembering, of course, that I've preached hundreds, if not thousands, of messages in my years as a pastor. I'll tell you why it's so important. Because as this message continues, I go into detail to discuss the assurance of salvation. Because what I've discovered is that there are some Christians who don't have assurance, there are other people who don't have assurance, and they shouldn't have assurance because they're not born again. So if you've ever asked yourself the question, how can I be sure, and what is the basis of assurance, this is the message to listen to. And of course, today you heard only the introduction, only the beginning part, and that's why I'm encouraging you to tune in next time to Running to Win to make sure that you get the entire message. I think it will be a blessing to you. Thanks so much for joining us today, and stay tuned because you will be receiving information as to how these messages can be yours. But let me tell you how much we appreciate you. We appreciate your prayers and your support. And I personally look forward to next time when I know that you'll join us right here on Running to Win.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer introducing his message on the Helmet of Salvation, another message in a 7-part series on the Invisible War. Tomorrow, more teaching on how we can know that we have eternal life. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on the Invisible War can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the Invisible War. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.